Hello and welcome to The Promised Land, a show about Manchester United, part of the 90 Min Podcast Network. I'm Scott Saunders, joined as ever by Rob Blanchett. Rob, it's new kit day. Manchester United have a new home shirt with a collar that you absolutely adore. It's a throwback to which year? Is it the 99 shirt that you're referring back to? Or is this...
It's further back, isn't it? It's kind of like David Beckham chipping the goalkeeper from the halfway line level, isn't it?
Okay. So 96.
Adore, isn't it? A pretty kind of tabloid word.
Pretty clear, Rob.
You know, we're not a tabloid show, are we? So I really, really like it. I borderline love it. I think it's a smart kit. It's a little bit different. Let's be honest, the Adidas offerings in the last few years, like, they've tried to be kind of like traditional, and they've tried to be plain, and they've tried to kind of do this, that, and the other. Whereas all their other Adidas football clubs, like Arsenal, release a ton of really good kits. So I like it. I'm all right with it. And I think, you know, this could be the kit. This could be the kit that gets us to the Premier League title. I'm joking, of course.
I'm not going to entertain that one. You know, I've said this a few times that I always hate it when great kits are ruined by awful seasons. And I won't have that problem this year, because even if United are awful, the kit is too. I'm not a big fan of it, but, you know, maybe I'll wait to see it on. Maybe I'll wait to see it on TV or when I go to the ground or whatever. I'll wait and see how it looks in real life rather than just on photos, because, you know, maybe it'll be different. Maybe I'll like it, but I think I'm pretty decided that I don't at the moment. One of the away kits, though, not out yet. One of the away kits I do really like, so I'll wait for that. Maybe get my hands on that at a later time. But the home kit is available now. I think United have had to hold back a video containing Cristiano Ronaldo, David Beckham and Eric Cantona because they're not sure if Ronaldo's going to leave. So, yeah.
Best laid plans, eh? Best laid plans.
Yeah. Ten Hag and Ronaldo have yet to speak. Ronaldo's not going on the preseason tour flight to Thailand and Australia. So great. We'll talk about that more a little bit later on. We'll talk about some incoming players. Lisandro Martinez looking likely now ahead of Arsenal. United still want Antony. Frankie de Jong has been linked to Chelsea in the last couple of days. We'll talk Harry Maguire liking an Instagram post. it's got him in a bit of hot water. We'll talk Bruno Fernandes' new number, Terrell Malacia's new number 12, and Andreas Pereira's going to Fulham as well. I can't remember whether we've mentioned that on a previous show, but looks like that one will be done for a little bit of money, which will cover the Malacia fee. But you can subscribe to our show wherever you get your pods on Apple, Google, Spotify, etc. And now you can watch us twice a week on Tuesdays and Fridays as well. So head over to YouTube, hit the like button, subscribe, join the community. We're just short of a milestone of subscribers. So if you haven't done it already, please get over there, hit the like button, hit subscribe, and we'll watch that number tick up. Hopefully we should hit that soon. The link should be in the description of this episode if you're listening on an audio platform as well. And you can follow us on Twitter at underscore Scott Saunders, at underscore Rob underscore B, and at PromiseLandMU for the show. Rob, I'm going to stop talking for a minute because my COVID, I'm actually a little bit out of breath. I'm still not over it yet. Quite exhausted the last few days I've been. But obviously we've done our new kit spiel, but United are closing in on Lisandro Martinez. Seems initial Dutch reports suggesting that 50 million euro valuation has been met by United in a new offer. It's been confirmed in a number of places this morning, including on 90min.com. Seems like they're close. Is this a signing that excites you? And do you think it will happen in the next few days?
I do think it will happen. What we saw yesterday was kind of what I would call an Arsenal-centric newspaper and reporter had said that Arsenal made great strides in the Lisandro Martinez deal. And literally 2 hours later, the Dutch press kind of went mad and said, well, no, he's basically about to sign a contract at Manchester United. So am I excited about it? Yes. I think, again, he's just the kind of player that you need at the moment. You know, we talk about what Ten Hag truly wants to do in the weeks ahead. Why is he buying everyone from Ajax? Well, it's because he knows these players. It's nothing kind of, I think, too untoward. And as we did say last week, Marcelo's nickname is the Butcher. I will hopefully be getting the new kit with the Butcher on the back. In fact, I won't be getting the new kit. I don't buy it. But I think I can see that, the Butcher and his number on the back there. And I can see him becoming a little bit of a cult hero at Manchester United. So the deal isn't done just yet. It's not quite over the line. But I think that maybe even in the coming hours, there will be some kind of confirmation. And I think especially with this new kit coming out, Manchester United will be wanting to be putting new stars in it to show that their signings are incoming.
Yeah. Where do you think he'll play, Rob? Do you think he's bought for centre-half or, you know, can play left-back, can play... He's not going to play left-back, obviously, because we've got Luke Shaw, Alex Tellers, Malacia as well. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's a position for him in midfield? He can play there.
Yeah, I think he's a left-sided player. And I was talking about this recently with some people and saying, you know, you look at his skill set and you look at what he can do and the way that he plays aggressively. I think primarily he's going to come in as a centre-back, primarily. But if you've still got Harry Maguire at the club, Harry Maguire, say, has a really good pre-season, goes into the new campaign playing really well. It's a great problem to have, isn't it, for Ten Hag? You know, he's not kind of then worried about his centre-back positions. I do think we will see Martinez as a defensive midfielder at times. So Manchester United fans absolutely rabid about the defensive midfielder position for about 5 or 6 years now. Like, someone was talking again to me about Ander Herrera coming to Manchester United and what he was going to do, and he was going to be a number six. And, you know, what do you do with all of these moving parts to look after the defence? I think Martinez will probably partner someone in a double pivot in that way. So he will probably be the left-hand side of that double pivot, much more defensively savvy, but still technically really good. And as I said, aggressive, someone who's not really going to be scared of the Premier League. So he's the kind of signing I think that you need for that position, rather than maybe a Pau Torres. Now, we talked about Pau Torres a lot, haven't we? But if you get Martinez and you probably don't need Pau Torres, you're certainly not going to go shopping in that market, spend another 50 million quid for no reason.
Wonder if anyone will ever sign Pau Torres. He's been linked so often with so many clubs.
I think he'll sign a new contract to Villarreal. I think that'll probably be it.
Poor lad. I think he does want to move somewhere else. But, you know, he's playing football at a good level at the moment.
Arsenal might need a centre-back.
Maybe. Word is Spurs are still on the lookout as well for a new centre-half. But if United end up signing Martinez, they will not need another one, I don't think. They'll have about six. They already have six, do they? Eric Bailly.
More than six.
Yeah. Loads and loads of centre-backs.
Mengi as well, two and Zabi. It's like it's the infinite. You know, Man United haven't got centre-backs, what you hear every year, but Man United got a lot of centre-backs.
Maybe not so good ones, but we'll
see.
That's
the problem.
So Martinez, there is talk that even a medical has been already booked in.
Yeah.
So United fly out on their pre-season tour today as we record this, are just getting ready to fly out. I'd imagine he'll join them pretty soon. Christian Eriksen's deal is not yet tied up in time to travel out with the team. Not quite sure what's happened there, but the word is that he'll join the club or the players in Australia. I think they play Liverpool in Thailand on Tuesday the 12th and then move to Australia in the days after that. And Eriksen should join them there. But Lisandro Martinez hopefully will join him. Will Antony join them as well? Because as far as we understand it, and reports have come out this week that United have actually made an offer for Antony that's been turned down. Ajax has sold a lot of players. We've seen Sebastian Allis move confirmed to Dortmund yesterday as well, on Thursday. But Antony wants to go. Lisandro Martinez wants to go. And it still appears as though United actually still want Antony. But they're after about 120 million euros for the pair of them, 50 million euros down on Martinez, which leaves about 70 million euros for Antony. Can you see United spending that much money, including, well, given the fact that they're still after Frenkie de Jong as well, who we'll talk about in a little while?
Yes, I can, because I think you might well be losing a £500,000 wage soon off your books. So there's always these moving parts, again, as we say about with the transfer market. I think with Antony and where we stand with that, as far as we're aware, Ajax have been kind of told by the player's agent that the player demands to go. He wants to go. It's kind of similar to the Martinez situation, where eventually the kind of agency said, no, the player wants to leave. He's going to England. So that opened a door, obviously, for Manchester United and Arsenal with that player. But I think with Antony, a reunion with Ten Hag, again, isn't really a surprise. He is one of Ten Hag's boys, a bit like Martinez is, and a bit... you know, we talked about players that stick with managers and managers that stick with players. And I think as well, he allows you to play with a right-sided forward and you don't worry too much about the striker then. So if you're losing Cristiano Ronaldo, and we feel that that is probably the way it's going to go now, do you replace him straight away with a like-for-like striker? Well, the market's not really bursting with them. So what do? You strengthen your forward line. And there's no doubt that right side for Manchester United is something you could still address if you're going to play Jadon Sancho on the left.
Yeah, it's been a problem for far too long now, I think. Antony is the exact type of player I think United probably end up needing. And you mentioned there about Antony making it clear to Ajax that he wants to pursue a new challenge. He's got a lot of players. Gabi Jesus has just moved to Arsenal for around £45 million. You got Rafinha, could be on his way to Barcelona. And he's looking for a place in the Brazil World Cup squad. And if he's playing in the Dutch league, whereas other players, he's in direct competition with them playing at a higher level, he's probably not going to get that chance. So it makes sense to go and test himself at a higher level. United are the team that want him. I think everybody wants this move to happen. It's just a case of whether United can meet the fee. Do you think, though, that United will be spending a bit too much money if they end up spending that much money on Martinez, De Jong and Antony? Or is there a way they can recoup it?
You can never spend too much money. Now, I'll take my journalist hat off and put my fan hat on. I don't really care what Manchester United finances look like. That's up to the Glazers. The Glazers have taken enough money out of the football club. Now maybe put that money back into it. So investment, I think, from the ownership or even from our own profits, I'm cool with. You just talked there about different players and prices and whatnot. When you talk about Christian Eriksen, you talk about Martinez and even Antony to an extent, you're not really shopping at the top tier of world football, are you? You're shopping in different marketplaces where the wages are probably a little bit more affordable. And yes, the fees look big, but whatever. You know, it's up to the owners to put that money up. So no, for me, I want to see more of this. Manchester United have got plenty of players still in the squad that they could eventually sell. So there's always that balancing point that if you need to kind of raise funds in a fire sale, you can go and do that. You know, we talked there about the likes of the Eric Bailly, this world, and Phil Joneses. You know, they will command fees. Andres Pereira, who's been no use to you for 3 years, you've just gone and got 10 to 13 million for him. So there are players like that that can go and supplement the books. But I want to see more signings. But at the same time, I'm happy shopping in that slightly lower tier because I think you get players who are motivated, who'll come to Manchester United to play for the badge, and they're not coming to Manchester United to say, right, give me my £27 million contract because I want £500,000 a week. Oh, no, now I have to take a pay cut because we're not in the Champions League. Bye, Manchester United. I did love you, but, you know, now I want to love another football club. I think United need to get away from that methodology. So those three players, a Frankie de Jong, which is obviously still burning away. I think if you get those four and you've got Malachia as well, it's a decent window.
It's the right market to go into, I think. You see Liverpool have had a lot of success this way. I know they've changed their tact a little bit.
Yeah.
Signing Thiago a while back and, you know, over the past few years. But the reason why they've become successful is, you know, picking up Firmino, Mane, Salah, Van Dijk, all these players who could jump onto a next level at good ages as well. Antony fits that bill. Lisandro Martinez does as well. And I'm quite excited about Martinez, actually.
Yeah,
I've been watching YouTube highlight reels of him this morning. It's just I've seen him make the same sliding left-footed tackle,
the butcher,
to take the ball off someone or kick it out of play, time after time after time. We know what Antony can do. He's one of the most talented young players in Europe at the moment. Brazilian international, obviously, wants to play in the World Cup. But I think Erik ten Hag's doing a decent job of identifying players who can fit into his team. And no, I think we've addressed this before. We're not really concerned that these players are all players that he's been linked with before. Obviously, he's seen Malacia in the Eredivisie. He's trained with Eriksen before. And then there's two Ajax players there that he's trying to sign as well. The reason why he's doing this, I think, is just to try and hit the ground running with players that understand his game. And you can see, even in training this week, that some of the players have had a difficult time coming to terms with his drills. Have you seen this kind of thing happening? Scott McTominay, there was one clip of him telling him to play it with the right foot or something like that, and like there are players who just can't do it.
It was really interesting, wasn't it? Because in that drill, Scotty was in the middle, and you clearly heard his audible saying, use your right foot, use your right foot. And the ball was coming to the left side of McTominay, and he was using his left foot. Now, people might say that that's normal, yeah? Because if you want to, in football, you should use both your feet. Well, especially in Holland, in the Dutch way, is they always say it's better to have one brilliant foot than two rubbish feet. And people would think that it's kind of like that Dutch footballers are always naturally two-footed. They're not. So what Ten Hag was trying to get across there to Scott McTominay was use the foot that works. Don't lay it off with the left foot if you 50% of the time you're going to lose the ball. So he was doing it. And as soon as he started to use his right foot, you could hear Ten Hag going, good, good, good in the background. And you're thinking, it was like these little training drills. This is how it works, isn't it? This is how a manager gets in a player's head. Because Scott McTominay has probably been told by countless managers, use both feet in that position. He's probably never been told, just use your right foot in the center of the pitch. Because you have to adjust your body, don't you? You know, you have to move your body to get the right foot to have the correct pass. So I thought it was quite funny seeing that, but also quite pleased to see a coach actually coaching.
Yeah, United haven't had that for a long time. Mourinho, Solskjaer.
A long time, a really long time.
United flying out now for their preseason tour to Thailand on Friday. No movement yet on Frenkie de Jong. Obviously, we've spoken about the other transfer targets so far, but not de Jong in depth. Have you seen, Rob, the revelations from, I think Marca got a hold of his contract in Spain and kind of clarified how much money Barcelona owe to Frenkie de Jong? That's an explainer of why things are being held up. But Chelsea have also now joined the mix for De Jong as well. Where does this leave United? Do you buy this? And how long is this going to take, do you think?
Well, we've said all along that the holdup here is not Manchester United. It's not the player. It's Barcelona. Barcelona owe Frenkie De Jong and his representatives a ton of money. And when we say a ton of money, we're talking, it's not like a million or 2 million. You know, it is a huge sum, way over, kind of closer to kind of like 20 million euros or something like that, some crazy figure. But ultimately, the player is not going to move until he is paid that. He can't, because as soon as he breaks that contract or that contract is ripped up, then of course he's not entitled to it anymore. So I believe that Barcelona have offered a settlement, and this is kind of where the Chelsea angle come in, because Barcelona are trying to broker a deal with Manchester United. They believe that's done at both ends of it. You know, they feel that the kind of it's an £80 million package, but they've got to pay the guy his wages. Otherwise, he's not leaving. What Barcelona want to do is that a new club go and take that debt on for them. But that's not going to happen. Man United should not do that. Chelsea should not do that. I think it's highly unlikely that Chelsea would do that, especially if they're taking on a new contract very soon. So we shall see. I think this just goes to show what a bit of a joke Barcelona have become. This huge grand football club has been run into the ground. And the reason why Barcelona and Bayern Munich can't do complete business at the moment with Lewandowski is because Bayern Munich have said that they believe that Barcelona might be out of business in a year or two. And I think that's actually true. I think that's kind of where their books kind of point them towards. It was only a year or two ago that Barcelona's value as a football club was a negative equity of £350 million. This is a £10 billion football club. So that's how badly they've been run. And yet, what are they doing, Scott? They're still trying to spend money like it's going out of fashion. So let's see. This is why I think the De Jong deal, why Manchester United are particularly calm about this, because they've put together a good package for the player. I think the player will move as long as Barcelona pay him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at, Marca did a breakdown of the numbers. Excuse me. During the COVID year, De Jong was offered to take a pay cut in a sense, and was ended up getting paid about 3 million basic plus 2 million ish variable and an extra 250k variable. And extended his contract by 2 years to allow Barcelona to pay him what they owed him over the duration of his contract. But now obviously Barcelona trying to sell him off. From this season coming, he's owed 18 million a year basic for the next 4 years. Next year, nearly a 10 million bonus is owed to him this year, a 3 million bonus. It's crazy.
And he's not even going to be a starter at Barcelona. Like, this is the thing now. So this for the next 12 months and beyond, they've got this, what you would call a bad debt, a bad contract. They owe him so much money, but you can't say to a player, please take a pay cut for us because we haven't bothered to pay you because our finances are bad. And that pay cut, can it be 60%? No, nobody does that. Nobody does that. So this is, I think, where De Jong's agency were always keen to move the player once they realised where Barcelona were with this deal.
Yeah, Todd Boehly, Chelsea's new owner, sporting director, everything that he is, has just landed in Barcelona in the last 24 hours or so. This came just after speculation as well that Chelsea were entering the race for him. Although it's been suggested that De Jong wants to work with Ten Hag and the Chelsea thing isn't really going to happen. You know, Boehly's in Barcelona to talk deals through for, I think, Azpilicueta and Marcos Alonso.
Yeah.
So, I'm not too worried about this, are you?
No, but I will say this, and I'll contradict myself from what I said earlier on. I don't care what the Glazers pay in terms of money. I want them to pay more. Please do get more players for us. Put it into the football team. But if it was my money, if I was the Glazers, God forbid, and I ran Manchester United, I would not be held to ransom over this player because it is Barcelona who are in trouble and Barcelona need to pay the player to get the deal sorted. You've agreed the terms, you've agreed a contract. If Chelsea come in and play a little bit of a patsy in this role and say, do you know what? You owe the player 20 million euros. We'll pay 12 of that on top. So give that to the player as a signing on fee and we're going to gazump United and take the player. And Frankie de Jong goes, well, do you know what? Champions League football, I'm off. Sorry, Eric. You know, I do love you as a coach, but there you go. Fine, move on. There's other players out there. I would like Frankie de Jong in a Man United shirt. I think he's a top midfielder. But I think you do have to wait now with 55 days of transfer window still remaining. You know, there's a lot of ground to go to. But as you said, the Chelsea are in Barcelona to talk those two players out of their football club. And I'm sure they'll discuss Frankie de Jong.
We'll see. It's taken a while. I think we're at nearly 60-odd days now that United have been chasing De Jong, but to no avail so far. Cristiano Ronaldo is not going on tour. It's been confirmed. Seems like his allowance to leave has been extended by United. Obviously, we mentioned earlier that the video that they plan to release with Beckham and Eric Cantona has not been released either due to uncertainty over his position. Not any closer really to knowing where Ronaldo's going to end up at the moment, are we?
No, I think obviously the biggest links when the story broke with Barcelona, who wants to still sign everyone, and Chelsea. And I think probably Chelsea now become the more realistic link when we talk about the deal and the numbers. But United fans, I think, need to get a reality check with Cristiano Ronaldo because these last few days, if it's shown anything, it's shown this whole cult of personality between player and club. Do you support Manchester United or do you support Cristiano Ronaldo? It's a weird thing. So it's been like that the last two or three days where people are like, oh, Ronaldo's shining a light on the Glazers. Ronaldo doesn't want to stay at a club outside the Champions League. Well, he was part of taking Manchester United out of the Champions League. He really was. You know, he might have scored some goals, but his problems up front were part of the issues. So there's been all of this about, do you keep Ronaldo now? How do you, you know, do you pay him the money? He's going to get a 25% pay reduction, which is something he agreed to 12 months ago, that if he couldn't fire United into Champions League, he would take that pay cut. Now he doesn't like that pay cut. He's not going on tour. He's never going to play for Manchester United again. I think that tells you everything you need to know about the man. So this is nothing to do with the Glazers or investment or any of those things because people have said, oh, Ronaldo doesn't like it that United haven't signed anyone. No, Cristiano doesn't like it that he's going to get 25% less of a wage next year. And yeah, he might want to play Champions League football, but doesn't he love United, Scott? Doesn't he love United? Doesn't he want to help United? Well, no, I don't think he does. So if that's the case, we need players like that out of our dressing room. We don't need more of them. You know, if he's the most senior player at Manchester United and that is what he is, and he doesn't want to play for Man United, off you go, mate. You know, fine, thanks for the years. Why are we crying over Cristiano Ronaldo? Let him go.
I'm completely with you. One player who does apparently like Ronaldo's pay cut is Harry Maguire. Because of that, that was weird. Harry Maguire liking a post on Sport Bible talking about how United's players will get a 25% pay cut, including Ronaldo, because they failed to qualify for the Champions League. And it's just this little like from Harry Maguire's account, which was apparently an accident.
Yeah.
Although, given all of the rivalry that has been reported to have emerged between the two of them, is that accident a little bit convenient an excuse?
It seems convenient, doesn't it? But I do actually think it was an accident. I've said before that players have social media pods.
Do you accidentally do that very often? I mean,
I don't think I do, but I think that if you're an 18-year-old social media bod who, you know, is scrolling through on your phone and stuff like that, and you see something and you inadvertently press it, it can happen. You know, I've heard it's happened many times before. But I also think with that, you know, we talk about the split in the Man United dressing room, and there's no doubt again that fans will side towards Ronaldo because they love him and they absolutely despise Harry Maguire. So that's where that gulf exists. But again, let's have players that want to play for Man United. Yeah, so I look at that. It was described as a mistake. I think we just take it as is. There's a lot of United fans get very annoyed saying, this is the kind of dressing room split. This is the kind of thing Paul Pogba would have done back in the day of like May or April. You know, and you think, So I think we can kind of just scoot over it and say, well, it happened. But at least Harry Maguire wants to play for Man United. I think that's important.
That's very true. Yeah, I'm actually just looking through the United timeline, and I've said that United have not released this video. I think they actually have the video of Ronaldo, Beckham, etc., etc.
Wow.
That was released. Yeah, I think it's actually out, unless it's something different. But yeah,
well,
that
might point towards that Manchester United are not prepared to do business. Because I think what it stands with Ronaldo is Ronaldo wants to leave. They have buyers, but Manchester United may say, do you know what? No, we are keeping you because we don't want to show a weakness to one of our rivals. So, you know, because I think that's the main part of this is political. So the Glazers don't want to say to this new owner at Chelsea, a new American owner, a competitor, to come in and say, well, yeah, you can just take anything of ours that we want. It's a show of strength. So I would rather just Ronaldo leave if he wants to go, because this is about football to me. But to the Glazers, it might be more about politics.
Yeah. You know, let's see if he does turn out for United. I mean, I'm expecting them to sell him personally, but there's a lack of options for him, really. I know Chelsea seems like the most realistic one at the moment. Barcelona are in absolute disarray, crisis. Bayern Munich don't want him. PSG don't want him, but we'll see if Bayern's position changes if they sell Robert Lewandowski to Barcelona.
It's worth saying that video was probably paid for by Adidas.
Yeah.
So Adidas will probably rung someone up at Manchester United today going, where is our video? So that is that happens, and that would not surprise me. Adidas are a multi-billion pound company as well. They're a strong arm company, and this is one of their products, and they'll be saying, no, we want Ronaldo in that shirt as long as he plays for Manchester United. So that video will go out. You can delete the video, can't you, next week if he goes to Chelsea or whatnot. Who are Chelsea sponsored by? Do we know?
Remember.
Are they Nike?
Supplier. They're Nike, I think. Yeah.
Are they Nike? So Cristiano is a Nike athlete. So it would not be surprised if you see Chelsea doing some kit sponsoring stuff next week or on their tour, maybe with Ronaldo in it with the big tick on his chest.
Keeping in the theme of new kits, Bruno Fernandes has been sporting the new kit. With a new shirt number. He's been after this since he joined. He's joked about it numerous times that his good mate Juan Mata has his shirt number. Now Mata's left. We still don't know where he's going, actually, to extend his career. But Bruno Fernandes is now United's new number 8. Is this something he's been after for a while? Is this a significant move? Do you think squad numbers play a big role in people's importance to squads?
If it stops him giving the ball away next year, he can have any number he wants. You know, like this is for me. You know, I think the whole number 8 thing yesterday was a bit of a reaction to it, I think, because he's gone from 8 to 18 and people have bought the kit or planning to buy the kit that they've got last year's 2 kits or whatnot. But no, I think it's his number. I think there's been a viral video go out this morning of him showing his forearm with the tattoo number 8 on it. So it's quite a good thing he didn't adjust that to 18, isn't it? Because that would have been painful this week trying to readjust that tattoo. But no, I'm not worried about squad numbers. If it makes him happier and that feels that that's the number he wants, he certainly can have it.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's a fresh start for Bruno Fernandes because I did really enjoy his first year at United. Last year was awful, obviously. But if he can fit somewhere into Erik ten Hag's new team, whether that's in a false nine role, I don't really see, I think maybe that could happen, especially if Ronaldo does end up going. That could be a thing that happens. But one player, Bruno Fernandes was obviously signed after Andres Pereira was tried in the number 10 role, and that effectively spelled the end of his United career. Pereira's been sent out on loan ever since, but now looks to be joining Fulham on a permanent deal. I think he's undergoing a medical today. Deal should be completed soon for around £8 to £10 million, which is a good return for a player. United should do more of this, shouldn't they? They should sell more players like this, especially if they're not being used, because it'll just boost the transfer budget a little bit.
Yeah, I think this shows a little bit of the Murto way. And what I mean by that is that previously with Ed Woodward being your de facto director of football and director of everything, he liked to hoard players. He liked to give them bigger contracts, keep them at the football club to boost their value. But of course, what happened was that it didn't boost anyone's value because he didn't sell anyone. So what's the point? So you're in this situation with a number of players. I think with Andres Pereira, you said he was tried as the number 10. I think he was tried as the number 6. He was tried as the number 8. He was tried as the number 12, sat on the bench quite a bit. Time to move him on. 10 million quid for a player of that stature hasn't really helped you for a while with add-ons is a good deal for the player. So I think, good luck to Andres at Fulham. I think it's a good opportunity for him to be back in the Premier League. But just snipping those wages off and just getting that extra value allows you to go and do different bits of business. As we said as well, Pereira outgoing, it's just the same as Malachia coming in. Yet you hope that Malachia can really help you win football matches next year, whereas Andres Pereira probably wouldn't have even seen the green grass of Old Trafford next year.
Yeah, there's plenty more of them to get gone. United have a massive squad of players. We mentioned earlier, they've got about 6+ centre-backs in there. They've got Dylan Levert's actually left the club on, a permanent deal today as well.
Yep.
There's a lot of players that United have to get rid of. And Andres Pereira is the latest one, or one of the latest to go. We'll see what else United can do, and we'll see whether they've turned over a new leaf and if they're going to do business any differently this time. Rob, I'm not feeling great today. I've got to be honest. I'm trying to talk and losing my train of thought. So I might wrap us up pretty soon. We've been going for about 33 minutes now. Is there any final thoughts that you have ahead of United's trip down under?
No, I just think it'll be so good to be able to talk a little bit about the football, won't we? I think we'll be micro-analysing stuff like, did you see Luke Shaw do that overlap? That's new. We haven't seen that for years. And, oh my God, Harry Maguire's playing on the right-hand side and not the left. And what's happening here? And Martinez turned up and just butchered everyone. It's good. I'm glad we're actually going to see some real football and we can talk about physical stuff, because we talk a lot about metaphorical stuff in football, don't we, during the off-season? And I'm happy, I think, with the business that United are doing. I think these players, they've got their kind of sect of players that they're after, and they're not doing, I think, what Man United have done in previous years, which is pretend they're after everyone, because that's kind of what it is,
In the same names all the time, isn't it?
Yeah, they've been really, really assured about the players that they want because of Ten Hag's positional needs. Now, I'm all right with that. It might not be Neymar or your next global superstar, but they're players that are supposed to help you win and help you create a football team. And I think this is what this whole period now between now and September the 1st is about. It's about getting the collective together and having a hive of players, of worker bees, that can do all of the things tactically that you want to do. I like the viral videos about the training ground because I think it just shows the kind of work that they're doing, and you need to get back to basics. So I think Ten Hag's doing that. And he now gets a chance to see what his squad can really do on a preseason tour. I will have one note of caution. When Louis van Gaal came in, we looked like the best team in the world on preseason. Mm. We won the international cup that they do. We beat Liverpool in the final. We beat everyone. Like, it was amazing.
Wasn't and one it, of those games at, like, in a massive stadium in the US against Real Madrid?
Against, with 100,000 people there.
Yeah, Martial dribbled from, like, the touchline.
Yeah.
And then assisted.
Yeah. It's still one of the, I still think, one of the biggest attendances in world football history. So, you know, that was for a friendly match at Manchester United. It shows the allure of the football club. But what I'll say with that, with the Van Gaal thing, is that, yeah, they look good on pre-season. And in the first 10 games of the season in the Premier League, I think they won 4 and lost 3 and drew the others. So pre-season doesn't always show us an indicator of what is to come. It just shows us maybe the style and the shape of the football that Ten Hag will play.
Yeah, we should get Erik Ten Hag facing the press a little bit as well. There will be a press travelling party on this pre-season tour as well. So we should get him actually speaking, telling us different things, giving us countless Ronaldo updates, I'm sure, because that's all he's going to be asked about.
Can you imagine the first one? I could just see it already, can't you? He's saying, like, so what's going on with Ronaldo? He's not on the tour. I'm not talking about him. They'd be like, ooh. And the British press there with their eyes. I'll say, I'll just end our show this. I think there has been an unfair waiting already in the press with headline writers going after Ten Hag. He hasn't done anything yet. We've not seen what his team does. But there's been all sorts about Ten Hag's this, that, and the other. And they're trying to create smoke where there's no fire. So I think it'll be good, that first presser, when he has to talk about Ronaldo, because he will have to. And I hope he just goes, not interested. Don't want to talk about him. He's not here. And that should be the right way of doing it. It's up to the club to sort out Cristiano Ronaldo now, not Erik Ten Hag.
Yeah, he did that with Ralph as well, didn't he? Just kind of batted it away pretty much in his first press conference with the press at Old Trafford. Yes, like I say, I'm gonna wrap up today, Rob. It's a little bit of a shorter episode, but hopefully I'll feel better next week for some pre-season football, where United play Liverpool. I think they play Melbourne City or someone next Friday as well. Yeah. Something like that. And we'll be watching along, I would think, too. So you can subscribe to our show wherever you get your pods, on Apple, Google, Spotify, and the likes. And you can watch us twice a week on Tuesdays and Fridays. So head over to our YouTube channel, hit the like button, join the community, and subscribe. We're very close to a milestone figure, so please do that if you haven't done it already. The link should be in the description of this episode if you're listening on an audio platform. And you can follow us on Twitter @_ScottSaunders, @_Rob_B. And at PromiseSandMU for the show. Rob, thank you very much for another show. I hope you enjoy your weekend. Meant to be quite sunny, I think. So get out and about, enjoy, and I'll catch you all next week. Thanks very much for listening, everyone.